Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Viewpoints on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel with my colleague Burkhard Varnholt. Burkhard, welcome back. It's nice to be with you again here on the podcast. Thank you for dropping by, for spending some time with our listeners and our clients. It's timely, Burkhard, that you're joining us today. I know this week our Global Chief Investment Office will be publishing the annual flagship publication, The Year Ahead. It's also the time of year where many investors and fund managers review their expectations about markets and asset allocation. So without giving any details away, I would, Burkhard, like to hear from you about some of the key reasons and thoughts as to why investors should study it. So with that, let's begin with this year's Roaring 20s scenario. Now, you've mentioned the term many times in our podcast throughout the course of 2024, and you've really been outspoken on how it lifts global growth and stocks. I also know, Burkhard, that it will feature prominently in this truly comprehensive study, The Year Ahead. So, Burkhard, why exactly should this decade be so special for investors?
Well, thank you, Dan. Of course, you know, you can either take the term Roaring 20s for its historical reference or not. In any case, we feel the world is deeply disrupted. We see tectonic shifts in business, politics, climate, society, and demographics. AI is changing many walks of life, and the computing power of microchips is growing exponentially at ever cheaper prices. So the old idea, we're standing on the shoulders of giants, is really taking on an entirely new meaning, and AI is learning rapidly how to leverage this famous wisdom of the masses. Meanwhile, renewable energies are becoming viable business opportunities in many places. Soon, the cost of generating power may even fall to zero, and that, of course, would radically solve many of the most pressing problems of our time, from energy-hungry data centers, desalination, or industrial processes. All of these could be rethought dramatically differently. But, you know, it's not just the power of better ideas, the disruptive power of innovation, which transforms this decade more than others. It's also, in our view, the geopolitical shifts in the world. There are new wars and conflicts and climate change. A rules-based global economy has already started giving way to a power-based one. Security challenges, be they physical, climate, or cyber, will drive costs, create concerns, but also business opportunities. And, you know, the electrification of everything may make copper shine like the new gold in a commodity super cycle, who knows? So the long and short of it is that a new world order is rising. We may like it or not, but it's creating big public-private partnerships that invest into infrastructure and what will, you know, be hopefully a safer, smarter, more sustainable, and maybe less globalized world. It's also a world of continued fiscal spending and growing debt and deficit. And it's a world of shifting demographics caused by, on the one side, the rising life expectancy, while modern families have fewer kids than ever before. So when you look at all these big, powerful trends, you can either feel awed or amazed because, you know, to us, they create large challenges which are also global and local alike, but somehow, somewhere, they also inevitably create equally large opportunities for nimble, innovative companies. Those are some of the reasons why we've been talking about the Roaring 20s, a decade of opportunities, growth, and disruptive innovation alike.
Well, Burkhard, thank you for that comprehensive and insightful summary. Now, your outlook also talks about different parts of the world. I would be curious to hear about your regional preferences. What are some of the main takeaways there?
Sure. Well, as I've mentioned before, U.S. exceptionalism continues to mark our time. It's the combination of all the United States' unique advantages. They got, as you know, the world's most successful tech leaders, the biggest, most liquid, and most efficient financial markets, the world's largest commercially available energy resources, a geography and demography of distinct advantages, unmatched hard and soft power, not to mention King Dollar, the world's reserve currency. All of that explains why U.S. stock markets nowadays represent more than 70% of the MSCI world. Remember, 100 years ago, that was only 15%, and why there's no way around it for global investors. Meanwhile, we do see Asia rising, especially Southeast Asian tiger economies, Taiwan and India, are all growing fast. Look, there's a big leap forward. I was traveling there just recently. Rising consumer incomes are visible wherever you look. They create demand for service sector companies. And as you know, interestingly, the service sector starts overtaking manufacturing. What's happening in Southeast Asia is that productivity rises. And so a virtuous cycle is really moving forward. Big picture, we expect those parts of Asia to grow faster than the rest of the world next year. Moving on to where I'm speaking to you from, good old Europe, well, we're more cautious. Europe is in a tough spot. There's no sugarcoating. Politics, war, taxes, and bureaucracy, they all exert a heavy toll. And yet, I still believe in Europe, and I believe its crown jewel in its corporate landscape are its small and mid-sized businesses. In Germany, Switzerland, Italy, France, you find them. In Germany, they make up 99% of all companies. Many people underestimate that. Germany is also the country where you find more hidden global champions than anywhere else in the world. So when in Europe, focus on small and mid-caps. And to mention my own book, in particular in Switzerland, which is home to the strongest currency of the world, the Swiss franc, and that inevitably adds extra returns to its highly innovative and successful economy. That's made the Swiss stock market, currency adjusted, the most successful European stock market over the last few decades, actually.
Well, Burkhardt, that's very encouraging to hear as you shared with us your regional views. Let me revert to one of your comments about copper and gold. You indicated that copper could be tomorrow's gold. I know that we also like gold and other real assets from an investment perspective.
You're absolutely right, Dan. So copper's most probably going to face severe supply bottlenecks if we're serious about electrifying the world. There's simply not enough copper around and cable capacity for us to build all those power grids and connect all those EVs to them. And that's just one of the reasons for thinking about copper and the commodity super cycle. Meanwhile, the continued interest in gold, which we still believe should take its price higher in 2025. We're expecting 2,900, maybe even a bit more than that. You know, really two key sources of extra demand. The one is central banks, especially China's PBOC and other BRICS central banks, who've started to accumulate gold reserves recently. Put very bluntly, they're looking for alternatives to the US dollar. It's as simple as that. And the second one is a cyclical upswing in India, the most important market for physical gold demand. As long as the Indian economy grows, that inevitably is good for gold. And finally, and this is on a related note, I forgot to talk about or mention real estate, the other real asset we do like a great deal. You know, I always find wherever you travel and look, you really find there's more demand for residential real estate than you find supply. And it takes a while until supply comes forward, especially in big cities. I mean, that's just as true in the U.S. as it is in Asia, Europe, even in Africa. And meanwhile, we expect bond yields to continue their decline into 2025, which naturally makes real estate more attractive for investors and more affordable for home buyers. So go for gold and look out for real estate investments too.
Burkhardt, thank you for sharing those key points with our listeners and clients today here on the podcast. Always valuable to hear your global perspective. Nice catching up with you today as always, and do look forward to our next conversation again soon.
Thank you very much, Dan. As always, a great pleasure. Have a great rest of the day. Speak soon. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.